SBS Radio. Изабела, здраво и добре дојде повторно на македонската програма на SBS Radio.
Добар ден, Лавица, како си?
Јас сум одлично, како си ти?
Добро сум, фала.
Ти само што се врати од та, да ја наречеме, експедиција, група на млади луѓе од Австралија, кои се сретна, како што се смета, со некои од најдобрите умови во меѓународната заедница. Изабела, кажи ни, колку држави посетивте со групата, со кого се сретнавте и кој се ви предаваше за дипломатијата? Знам дека се многу прашања во едно, ама обиди се колку што може да одговориш. Само да потенцираме за нашите слушатели дека иако добро го разбираш македонскиот јазик, сепак поради некои стручни наслови, полесно ти е да се изразиш на англиски, па се надевам дека нема да има проблем со нив.
Thank you very much, Лабица. Yeah, ако е окей со слушателите, многу полесно ми е по англиски да разговараме за овие работи, ама...
Добре.
I'll do my best to switch where I need to.
Добро. Значи, прашањето беше с колку држави посетивте со оваа група, со кого се сретнавте таму, кој ви предаваше за дипломатијата?
So over the month of January, 16 students and 4 facilitators went on the UN Youth Young Diplomats Tour, and we travelled across Berlin, Prague, Vienna, Budapest, Krakow, The Hague, Amsterdam and Brussels. Okay. And it was an absolutely incredible experience looking at the history and the future of European democracy and diplomacy and the direction that many European entities such as the European Union are actually going to take in the next couple of decades and many of the challenges that they'll face. And across that month, I think we had over 30 meetings from memory, over 30 consultations, which was very, very full on, but it was absolutely incredible the caliber of people that we met, and the subject that we covered ranged from everything to like EU politics to climate change, foreign and domestic policy, and pretty much like everything in between. And the topics we explored were really interesting at a European level, but it was also nice to be able to come home and reflect at how some of these issues like immigration politics are actually affecting Australia as well, and the differences between the nations on the other end of the globe. Some of the people that we met with while we were over there, really just from every sort of walk of life, we met with a couple outstanding people that really stuck with me. We met with the senior spokesman for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. We met with Dr. Peter Lunak and Gwen Bamos from NATO when we were in Brussels. We met with Miss Helga Stevens, who is a member of European Parliament. In Hungary, we had the opportunity to meet with a member from every major political party, which was really incredible and very, very insightful to see such a diverse range of opinions. We also got to be hosted at UN headquarters in Vienna. We got to have a series of consultations there. We met with the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, UN NUSA, found out that space law was actually a thing and that it's UN bodies that are actually governing how that ends up actually got communicating across all UN signatories and the kind of work that they do there. We met with the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons and looked at how, you know, they're trying to stop nuclear and chemical warfare and like how they make sure that things don't escalate to the level that they did, you know, in Second World War and the Cold War, and just seeing like all of these really, really diverse people, it was just really like, it was a phenomenal experience. And it, like, the things that I learned from there are probably things that are going to carry through for certainly the rest of my academic life, but I think my professional life as well, really sealed for me that like foreign policy and diplomacy is a direction that I really want to take in future.
Како што рече Изабела, разговаравте на многу теми, климатски промени, нуклеарна политика, домашни политики, секако на земите во кои што бевте, како и за меѓународните преговори. Е, кога сме тука, ова е особено Чувствителен период за Македонија со промената на името, на кое што се противи добар дел од македонскиот народ и диаспората. Како ти, како млада австралика со македонско потекло и, еве, како што велиш, потенцијален иден дипломат, гледаш на развојот на настаните во врска со Македонија?
I think it's a very difficult time for Macedonia as it stands right now. I know certainly on the trip I had the opportunity to learn a lot about the Balkan Wars and the fall of Yugoslavia and sort of like the way that all happened and the consequences of a lot of military action and political conflict, and seeing that so far forward in the future things are still happening that are really compromising, I guess, the identity of people within the Balkan region. I think that's the biggest, that's what I see as one of the biggest issues with the name change agreement. For me, not actually knowing anyone that agrees with the constitutional reform, I think that puts me in a bit of a bias. I haven't actually heard very many arguments for what is actually happening in Parliament presently. So I'm very much of the mindset that if it appears that a majority of a nation doesn't support such a profound change in government and in constitutional, in constitutional writing and in national identity, then I think we've really got to take a step back and just evaluate what's going on and why it's happening and what appears to be, if it is not for the will of the majority, then it kind of outlines it to be quite undemocratic in the process at which it's happening. I think the advantages that come from the name change, which include, the EU entrance membership, now that all member states have actually agreed to the terms of Macedonian entrance, and with that, NATO entry as well, I think it begs the question whether the economic benefits that are going to come from this are actually worth the political consequences that have already happened, and I think the political consequences that are still yet to occur. I think it's going to just cause a lot of division within the nation, as well as actually feed into that mentality that's currently sweeping Europe, not just Eastern Europe, but certainly all throughout. I believe that this rise of nationalism and this rise of people sort of going back to their ethnic lines that caused a lot of the wars that fed into the fall of Yugoslavia as well. And I think we've just got to be very careful in the steps that we take now that this is happening. I think it's very difficult all the way from over here, having an opinion but feeling very much that there's nothing that I can do to contribute or to be a part of this process. Even as a dual citizen, I think it's difficult. It's difficult when you've sort of got one foot in each country at all times, kind of thing. You really want to be there and you want to be a part of these political processes and feel that your voice is heard. But, coming from a background where very proud of my history and very proud of my national identity, I think it's just, for me, it's quite sad seeing what's happening, knowing that so many people feel voiceless and feel disenfranchised and just feel that the will of the people is not being expressed in Parliament. And I think coming from we are a very liberal democracy in which people have very active participation in politics and have a say in who's running the country and how voices and opinions are expressed, I think that juxtaposition is very much, it's difficult to sit with, that both countries are labelled as democratic, but one certainly feels more so than the other. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely problematic, to say the least.
Добро, Изабела, знам дека ова беше тешко прашање за тебе. Да се вратиме на Европа. Што според тебе се најголемите предизвици за Европа, за еднината на Европа?
I think it's difficult to say. Europe always has gone through its own set of challenges as a very distinct hub of the world, both culturally, politically and economically. But I think In our near future, the biggest problems that I see Europe has to face is very much along the lines of this rise of nationalism. And I think that very much has to do with the current migration politics and immigration politics that we see happening all throughout Europe, but particularly within European Union signatories. And along with that, I think we see global issues of climate change, and we begin to question how the European field is actually going to handle and unite in those kinds of issues. But in terms of European Union strength, I think that's going to be a really interesting, I guess, sort of debate that's going to be happening in the next few years. Very much now with this, with the Brexit situation, whether the European Union still remains as powerful of a, I guess, a non-state actor in the political field, whether it still will retain its ground in international agreements now without British support, and how that's going to affect not just economic integration in Europe, but also political integration, whether it's going to become easier or harder now that one of its biggest Western contributor is removing itself from the field. And I think that in terms of this unified European mentality, whether that's now going to strengthen or weaken as well is going to be very interesting. I think the biggest, for me, what I see is one of the biggest and nearest case studies that will be a testament to whether the European Union actually has the strength that I think it portrays itself to have will be now in the discussions with the Iran nuclear deal, whether Europe will step up and offer economic support now in absence of US leadership. I think that'll be a really big testament to the strengths and weaknesses that the European Union can actually put forward. But I think it's going to be difficult. I think it's going to be a testing few years, but I hope that given these continental issues that are coming forward, but also these international issues like climate change and all of the consequences that are going to come through that, I hope that these challenges that face Europe actually unite it. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all turns out. It's certainly going to be a lot of eyes on European leaders now to see how Brexit changes European dynamics.
Добро, Изабела, мислам дека и слушателите ќе се сложат, веќе зборуваш како надежен млад политичар со искуство. Што според тебе се, од каде ќе понесеш највпечатливи спомени од која европска земја?
I think it was very interesting seeing, I fell in love with so many places across this trip. I don't think I have one country that was a particular favorite, but I had highlights from just here, there and everywhere. I'm very much a lover of the arts and of culture and of music, and I found it really special to be able to see artworks from some of my favourite artists like Gustav Klimt, Van Gogh and Monet. That was a really incredible experience. I also really enjoyed being able to see a lot of perhaps Gothic and Baroque European churches, the Prague Castle, St. Vitus Cathedral at the top of it, the Karlskirche Baroque church and architecture, and in Prague probably something that was quite special to Macedonian heritage, the St. Cyril and Methodius Orthodox Church, which I got to visit for Orthodox Christmas while I was there, which was quite special considering I was away from home. It was nice being able to connect with that a little bit while I was away. In terms of all of the political and historical highlights, seeing the Berlin Wall was really something that just gave me goosebumps, and seeing the East Side Gallery, which is a couple hundred metres, perhaps a kilometre of the Berlin Wall that's just covered in street art and graphic art, some political, some not, that was really beautiful to have seen. And the actual meetings that we attended and the people that we met with, that is something that I don't think you have access to in very many spheres in terms of student tours that you can actually attend. And I think it was definitely a testament to the facilitators running the tour the caliber of people that they facilitated for us to actually meet with. We also got to meet with New York Times correspondent for Berlin, Melissa Eddy, and she works a lot in writing for immigration politics and like themes of that kind of issue within Germany. Really just something quite inspiring. I'm very interested in journalism, and being able to speak to her was very cool. And I think probably my second favourite would be we met with the International Residual Mechanism for Criminal Tribunals, the RMCT, in The Hague. And that was where, I say was, it continues to be the mechanism that hosts a lot of the trials for the war crimes following the fall of Yugoslavia and the Rwanda genocide. And being able to speak to people from there and people who work in this field, and being able to learn a lot about Macedonian history and Yugoslavic history, I found that really, really special. And just like aside from like Eastern European politics, I guess, being in Germany, I found it really interesting just seeing this like national memory almost that hosts like a lot of historical sites. The memorial for the murdered Jews of Europe was really, really moving. It was like a massive piece of artwork that overlooks quite close where Hitler's bunker was during the Second World War. And going and seeing all of these incredible things, and then being in Poland and actually being able to visit Auschwitz-Birkenau and seeing all of these things that I've studied in school and I've read about and I've, you know, seen in movies, and actually being able to see that in real life, I think it has the ability to make you feel very solemn and very scared and quite angry, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. It was something that left a lot of us feeling incredibly emotional and incredibly frustrated, to think that not only that these things have happened in history, but that they happened so close in terms of like timelines and years, like it really wasn't that far away. I think one of the most memorable things that this tour has left me with is knowing that even though all of these things are in history, there is still very much the possibility that they can happen again. And I think it taught a lot of us like the fact that, you know, globalization is amazing and there's like amazing political and cultural movements that are progressing forward. But there's also a lot of things that very much haven't changed in the last couple of decades. And I think it sort of like leaves you with a warning, like a sort of like a thought in the back of your mind that like we always need to be careful as an entire planet and, you know, as a series of nations, like the consequences of political actions, and that humanity is in fact one and that we all need to support each other in that and make sure that like these things that we're learning about now like remain history and that they're not repeated in at least our futures and, you know, the future that is to come.